Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A busy day in Atlanta sports today, Braves and Mets, if you're really all that interested. But nonetheless, those two teams locking up at Truist Park. And, of course, you have final round of the Tour Championship down at Eastlake. We are taking you here on 92.9 in the game till 3 o'clock from Atlanta United and Toronto, live with Mike and Jason on the call of United and Toronto again at 3 p.m. Well, it is the first Sunday of the football season, in a manner of speaking. The NFL, of course, gives way during Labor Day weekend to college football, but we are knocking on the door a couple of weeks away from the opener against Tampa. And how do the Falcons stack up now as they get ready for that first game of the year? Let's welcome to the program man who knows, Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes, Will. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course, John. Excited to talk to you.
All right, let's begin with a little bit of news. The first cuts happened yesterday. Love Ben DiNucci with his airport beer tweet. really feel for that guy. He keeps plugging away, which is great for him. I think a lot of people, not so surprised Lamar Jackson because he's struggled, but a lot of people were really surprised to see the name Morgan Fox in the first cuts. What do we make of that? Is he just old, slow, just got outplayed? What happened?
Yeah, you know, that's a great place to start because there are a couple of different things that I think this could be. Now, in the preseason games, I don't know if Morgan Fox was a standout. You know, I would venture to even say that a player like Lakeia London probably outperformed him if you're just looking at the preseason games. But during practice, Morgan Fox was a player that, yeah, I had no issues with at all. I liked what he saw. He was part of that rotation. He, you know, provided some of the strength in the interior that if you're going to have some of those like 3-4 looks and a little bit more of a nose instead of a one, then you would want that power and strength. And so that was kind of the role that I figured he would occupy on this roster. Now, clearly the Falcons felt differently. And this could be as simple as, all right, maybe they hope he clears waivers and intend to bring him back on the practice squad to have that kind of veteran reserve depth in case one of your core guys goes down. It could also be a factor with the injuries on the offensive line and, you know, Darnell Mooney and things like that. Maybe they felt, hey, we have to have an extra body at another one of these spots, and it's just kind of a numbers game. And unfortunately, Morgan Fox, we feel, is expendable because of David Onyemata, Kentavious Street. You know, if those guys end up, I would expect David too. But if Kentavious Street is around, then maybe it was something like that. The other thing could be, and I mentioned Lakeia London, it could be that a player they weren't expecting to step up along that defensive line rotation did. And when they signed Morgan Fox, it was kind of right at the early stages of free agency, and the picture may have changed since then. So those are kind of where my head went to. I could be completely wrong about all three of those, but any of those three would make sense, and it's why I'm really curious to see ultimately what the cuts are on Tuesday.
Will McFadden, senior editor, AtlantaFalcons.com. Of course, the big news right now is right tackle. Storm Norton out half the year. Who knows if Caleb McGarry is going to be back at all. So it's Elijah Wilkinson. Are we seeing a situation where Terry Fontenot is going to comb the cuts for the best right tackle available and bring somebody else in to help solidify? Because that's the blind side now. That's the other big part of this.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think that he is going to be looking at the cuts that happen around the league, as they always do. But this year, I do think the number one position that you're looking at is, all right, who are some of the offensive linemen that we liked maybe from college or has experience with some of the coaches on the coaching staff, or anybody who's really been in the, with kind of that watch flag icon selected next to the players' names as I'm heading to a fantasy football draft right now. So that is what I would expect once these cuts are made. But we also heard from Raheem Morris after Friday's game say, you know, Elijah Wilkinson did not play out of an abundance of precaution. I asked him if that had to do with anything specific to Elijah Wilkinson or if it had to do with the overall injury situation, and he said it had to do more with the overall injury situation. So that would lead me to believe that Elijah Wilkinson is maybe that kind of next man up that they would pencil in at tackle. You've also got rookie Jack Nelson, who's received a lot of reps in the preseason, for better and for worse. And I think that those are the in-house guys. Brandon Parker was another player he mentioned, but would not shock me in the least if we see a new name or two added after the cutdowns.
Yeah, because frankly, Will, I wasn't impressed with Jack Nelson. He just may just be young, and he is, and sometimes it takes offensive linemen a year or two, especially at the tackle spot. And frankly, I've got some serious concerns. Even if McGarry were healthy, I'd have serious concerns about the depth on the O-line.
I mean, absolutely. It's understandable because the seventh-round pick, and that's what Jack Nelson was, is not drafted to come in here and be a day-one really contributor. As an offensive lineman, it is a very complex position change to pick up going from the collegiate level to the NFL. And so, yeah, he was a developmental guy to bring in, see what you got. They like some of the traits. He's got great size. Like, you see him next to Caleb McGarry, they kind of look similar. So, like, you see what the projection was, but that is a far different cry from, hey, rookie, we need you to play some significant minutes for us here early on in the season.
Talking with Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com, as we head into and looking at his 53-man, you can check out all the 53-man projections right now on AtlantaFalcons.com, including Will's latest update. I know this isn't front and center for a lot of people, but when Youngwe missed the first field goal against Dallas, we all went, he's going to start the season as a place kicker. Is that leash going to be super short?
Yeah, the miss on Friday night and in the game breakdown, I think I wrote that as maybe the key moment, or I had it as kind of a key something, and there wasn't a lot to really tangibly take away from Friday night, but I do think that miss is one of them. And Raheem Morris is stuck by Youngwe Koo really even through his struggles dating back to last year, and for good reason. You know, at one point we're sitting here looking at Justin Tucker and Youngwe Koo as the most accurate kickers in history, and you know, that now fast forward to where we are right now, it's not like a player just suddenly changes like that. I do think injuries had something to do with last year, but being the kicking game and us knowing what it is, like the mental side of it does really play a role in that. And Youngwe Koo is as cool of a customer as I've ever been around. But the miss, you know, it'll linger in the minds of fans, and you wonder then, at what point is it lingering in the minds of some other people inside of the building? So he would have certainly loved to get out of that game with a clean sheet. He was clean pretty much the rest of the way. I do still fully expect for Youngwe Koo to be the starting kicker. And hopefully, you know, he starts off with a really strong suit. And if he misses, you know, his first kick in week 8, then cool. He's built a little bit of a cushion and a little bit of a, you know, he's bounced back with the fan base. But if it's week 2 and it's a big-time kick and it goes awry, then, yeah, like I think the questions become fair at that point. It would hurt his case more if Lenny Krieg hadn't also had his fair share of misses in camp and the preseason. But, yeah, the kicking situation is once again going to be kind of under the spotlight, I think, to start the year.
Will McFadden, AtlantaFalcons.com. Let's talk about your 53-man on offense. I will say that even though, you know, preseason is what it is, I continue to be impressed with one position on offense, and that's a wide receiver with Chris Blair and with Nick Nash and with some of the, you know, guys. I'm intrigued by both of them. I think both of them have starter ability for this team at some point. But any surprises on offense on the 53-man that you expect to see? Blair and Nash probably going to the, you know, practice squad, but do you expect, you know, setting aside right tackle, any surprises at all on the 53-man on offense?
I think for wide receivers specifically, and you've highlighted kind of the area where it feels maybe the most log jammed, or where you can maybe make the case for the most guys is the right way to say it. And Jamal Agnew is a little bit of a X factor in this for me. He obviously is a veteran return guy. I know special teams coordinator Marquise Williams, you know, thinks the world of him, but he just hasn't been out there. And we've seen, you know, D. Alford, if he had kept his feet on that punt return, you could have taken it, I think, on Friday night against Dallas. So they've been giving some other guys some looks. And has Jamal Agnew, like, does that reputation carry enough weight to get him on the 53-man roster, or do they look around at somebody like Chris Blair or Nick Nash or David Sills is another guy that I think is right there on the bubble and say, okay, what is an ace returner worth versus somebody that we really think has some upside as in the wide receiver game, and maybe we can plug another player on the roster in at that return position. So these are all the calculations that take place when you're considering the 53-man roster as a whole, and it's why I love doing the exercise, because it really makes you have to make some tough cuts and kind of compromise a little bit or question your values. So the two guys I do think are Chris Blair and David Sills. If Jamal Agnew is not on the roster, I would imagine one of those guys are. But yeah, Casey Washington is really surprised and pleased, I think, a lot of people this camp. And so he's, to me, is a lock. He didn't play. David Sills didn't play either, which I think is interesting. So we'll see how the receiver situation shakes out. But I think Blair, Nash, Sills, and Agnew are kind of the four guys that I think are in the mix right there.
You know, you switch over to defense, and I think it's fair to say that a lot of us were kind of pleasantly surprised by what we saw from James Spears Jr. and the fact that he was, you know, an alpha dog out there and doing his thing. But at the same time, so I think we're okay. You know, I think most fans are when we talk about the 53-man with Edge and whatnot. But when we look at the defensive backfield, there's still question marks. It seems a plenty in the defensive backfield. I thought we had maybe solved some of those, but how do you see the backfield, especially the corner position and the other safety kind of working out, corner nickel and the safety opposite of Bates?
Well, I do just want to really quick go back to you saying the edge, the 53, you know, we feel pretty good about that. Whew. I mean, just think about how far we've come, John. Before the draft, before free agency, it was like, what are they doing at edge? And now you're just like, hold on, we'll go past edge. Let's talk about the secondary. So let's celebrate for a little bit that you feel good about that. I think when it comes to the secondary, it's worth a reminder that we didn't see A.J. Terrell. We didn't see Jesse Bates. We haven't seen any of those guys out there of any of the kind of starting spots. I think the secondary is really solidly in place, and they've got some consistency and familiarity amongst the starters. Yes, I would expect Bill Bowman to be a new face in that mix, and I do think Xavier Watts will get some of those reps as well. But the key guys, Jesse, A.J., and Mike Hughes, you know, we know what they're going to be. And the guys that we saw out there on Friday night, remember, they're battling for, like, the final roster spot at the cornerback position. So I wouldn't read too much into how they performed on Friday night. And it's also very vanilla scheme stuff. That being said, you know, I know a lot of people are looking at D. Alford and kind of saying, thank you for your services the last couple of days, but we're ready to see the future with Billy Bowman. I like what he's done in camp. I think he's had an attitude about him. I think he played pretty well on Friday night. Yeah, he's going to get maybe touched up a time or two if you put him in a man coverage situation or something like that. But I still think he adds a lot of value, and they gave him those return reps for a reason, I think, on Friday. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if they're keeping both Billy Bowman and D. Alford out there. And then Natron Brooks being a real standout guy. But again, this is a player who is earning his spot on the roster. He's not earning A.J. Terrell's job. So a little bit of perspective, I think, is required when it comes to the secondary. And then, to bring it full circle, that edge rusher group that we just talked about feeling a little bit more secure in is going to play a role in what this secondary ultimately accomplishes. That is the goal here in Atlanta. For the first time in a while, they do really want to have a front pass rush that sets up the back end secondary to make a lot of plays.
Yeah, the turnovers is going to be something that, well, you know, define to a great degree, you know, what kind of a season the Falcons have. If they can be plus six, plus eight or something, I mean, that'll really, you know, bode well for them. So to that point, Will McFadden, you are the senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. You came in to this, you know, camp, noting some of the moves they had made in the offseason, understanding where the franchise was coming off the way the season before ended. You know, we still have to deal with, you know, what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins, but we can push that down the road for the moment. What do you, how can I ask this in the right way? What is your comfort level that when the Falcons hit the field in a couple of weeks here at Mercedes-Benz in the opener against Tampa, that that team is going to come out and not be slow to start here, but is going to come out and be able to perform at a high level in the first game of the year.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I understand why you were trying to think of the right way to frame it, because there's just an unknown element to every team in the league in week one, right? And so that is, I'm confident in what I've seen from the guys that are going to be out there, especially in the defensive line group. Like, I think the defense is going to maybe start a tick faster, but I've also seen some things from Michael Penix Jr. that lead me to believe, you know, if he's kind of feeling it in week one, this offense can go out and score north of 30 in week one. Like, you're going to look around the league and probably see some teams, maybe a team puts up 40 just because they're kind of going up against a group still figuring some things out. But I would imagine that the kind of highs and lows in week one are going to be even more magnified than they would be. And there's a very good chance the Falcons are on the high end of that, again, if Michael Penix is kind of locked in, because there have been also some days where he's started a little slow and he's missed some throws and he's been inaccurate. And that's kind of going to be the life that we live with him, I think, this year, based on what we saw from him in Washington and the fact that he's still just a second-year quarterback. So that's kind of why I'm hesitant to fully say, like, I'm given the seal of approval, they're coming out gangbusters, just because when you've got a new element at quarterback, that is such a big X factor. But again, I'll say, John, like, I think defensively, they're going to surprise some people, especially with their fronts. They are attacking. They are really, like, keeping guys fresh, and they've got an attitude about them. So come week one, a division matchup against Tampa Bay, they're going to be without Tristan Wirfs. Like, that is the group that I'm looking at to feel good about this team for the rest of the season. If the offense is a good series, a bad series, a good series, a good series, a bad series, like, I will take that, and I'm willing to kind of overlook some of the struggles on that side of the ball. Defensively, though, I think they're going to want to set the tone, and I think they're going to come out with a few wrinkles that Tampa Bay may not be expecting.
Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com. I encourage you to read his and his staff's work. It's all really good stuff. AtlantaFalcons.com is a great website, especially if you're a Falcons fan. Will, thanks for taking time on a Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon throughout the year. Thanks much.
Of course, John, anytime.
Will McFadden, live on 92.9 The Game, Falcons of Tampa, opening game next up, right here on your home at the Falcons Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. When we get back in a moment, open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. You know what Will just said. By the way, 404-726-0929. Okay. I know all you folks in Lithonia say I say it too fast. That's my Lithonia high education. We talked fast when I was there. I don't know why. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.